Welcome to Two Teas in a Pod. I'm Kate Diaz, a Manchester math teacher and elected president of CEA, the Connecticut Education Association. We are Connecticut's largest teachers union, representing tens of thousands of professional educators across the state.
And I'm Jocelyn Delancey, a fifth grade teacher in Darien, elected vice president of CEA and president of CEF, the Connecticut Education Foundation, CEA's charitable arm.
In every episode, you'll hear thought-provoking interviews, as well as actionable tips and strategies that you can implement in your daily life. We'll have stimulating discussions to help you become a more informed, an effective educator and advocate for your students and the teaching profession.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now let's jump right into Two Teas in a Pod.
Well, we are joined today by Julie Kushner from Danbury. Julie, thank you for joining Jocelyn and I to have a conversation about a real vision for Danbury, because I think oftentimes things get reported, you know, about Danbury being, you know, what, 169 in terms of funding. We had Aaron on earlier talking about being, you know, sort of the impact of being an underfunded district. But I think the real question is, what's the vision going forward? Because I do take all of this with a certain air of optimism, because we aren't stuck. We can do whatever we want. And so I think, thinking and looking at Danbury from an optimistic point of view, where do we go?
I love that question, because I've lived in Danbury for nearly 30 years, and I raised three kids, and they all went to the public schools in Danbury. And so I have a real appreciation and an affection for Danbury Public Schools. And I think we have great schools with great teachers, a really strong foundation, but we also have to have the vision of how do we move forward, because our schools are overcrowded. We have not invested enough in education in Danbury, primarily from the municipality. And so we need to see, how do we move that forward? And what I really appreciate is that we do have a vision. Right now, we are working on an amazing school that we hope to have open in 2024.
And that's exciting.
That's really exciting. And it's at a great location, and it will accommodate 1,400 students.
That's tremendous.
It is really been a culmination of effort by the superintendent and the school district, the Board of Education, and a lot of advocates like me who feel like we need to really boldly address the education issues in Danbury. We don't need any band-aids. We need a big fix, and immediately. Mm-hmm. We have 3,400 students in our high school today, and we know it's growing. And we have a proposal to build a career academy across the high school grade levels that will address the curriculum for the entire high school population. It's also going to be involving a new school that will accommodate over 1,000 high school level kids.
Wow.
So essentially what we're doing is, in the ninth grade, every student will have an opportunity to learn about career paths.
Yep.
And they will have an option at that point when they are ending their ninth grade to select one of the career pathways, and based on which pathway they select, they will end up either staying in the Danbury High School building or moving to the new building that we're going to be opening in 2024. So essentially what we're doing is creating a new curriculum for all of our students.
Oh, wow. That's a big undertaking,
Julie.
It's
huge.
That's exciting, though.
And it's one of those programs that has been shown in other states to be really successful. And it's being embraced by the business community, the, you know, educators. I think it's a real opportunity in Danbury to address the needs of all of our students.
Well, I love that it's a creative look at how we can evolve what our high schools look like and what we're providing for our students. So it sounds like students will have choice. They will have options, and they can really see that you're not limited or identified by your academic success up until that point. You know, academics are so important and they help us to be successful, but there are other things that allow for students to be successful. And it sounds like this will provide opportunities for more options. So that's great.
Yeah. And I think to speak to that a little bit, I also think what I love about it is it starts to do something that I feel passionate about, which is really create value around lots of ways to be successful. Because I think sometimes success gets very narrowly defined. And if you've ever needed a mechanic or a plumber, we love those people. We need those people. They're very, very successful individuals. But oftentimes, we don't really build a track, a space for developing a skill.
So I think the thing that's interesting about the Career Academy and this Career Academy curriculum is that there will be six academies, mm-hmm. and they focus on different areas. Within the six academies, there are 24 pathways. And so a kid can pick a pathway in an academy that, well, they can pick an academy that has several different pathways. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to decide in ninth grade whether right. they're going to go to college or whether they're going to go right into the workforce yep. or go to a community college. There's different pathways within the academy that they can choose as they develop their interests. And so one might be engineering, yep. another might be medical sciences. And as we know, there's lots of different pathways from being part of the medical sciences. So it's a very flexible program to give students a lot of choice, a lot of options, but also to know that when they get out of high school, they have a real understanding of what they might want to pursue next.
Right.
So that it helps kids when they're going to college. I know my kid was like totally freaked out that when she graduated high school, she hadn't figured out what she wanted to be when she grew up. And she was really fixated on it. It gave her tremendous anxiety because other kids like knew they wanted to go to medical school already or they wanted to, you know, go into a trade. She just hadn't figured it out yet. And this way, kids don't have to feel that pressure. They have an opportunity to be exposed to different curriculums.
Well, I think that's a powerful statement, right? Because if we look at what the real engagement in school should be, it's about the world of possibility. And so any opportunity we build that shows kids the whole scope of work and life is really valuable. And so I think that it really is an opportunity to build up the Danbury Public Schools and highlight the work that's being done, engaging your community as well. Because one of my big things about public education is that it doesn't exist on its own. You know, it's foundational to our economic growth. It's foundational to our community development and identity often. And it's really essential in terms of growing our whole state. You know, we're only going to be as good as our weakest public school. Because our weakest public school is still producing adults who are going into the workforce, right?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I mean, I feel like we're doing the right thing by focusing mm-hmm. on the high school grades at this point because that's where we feel the pressure the most from the overcrowding.
Right.
But it's also an area where I feel like the curriculum development, the innovation that we're working on really is essential to getting people on track now, to get our kids feeling like there's a good place for them now. I would say overall, the Danbury Public Schools have to also address the needs of our students in the elementary grades and also in the middle school levels. And, you know, I think we need to pay just as much attention to that. And that will be sort of the next phase. We are adding on classrooms to one of our elementary schools, which is great. And they should be ready relatively quickly. But, you know, there are a lot of our middle schools definitely need more space, more growth. I'd like to see us adopt some of the curriculum models that we have seen tested in our magnet school that are so successful. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see those transferred to our middle schools in Danbury so that kids have the advantage of those good practices and good teaching
sure.
methods. And so there's a lot to be done. And I think the other really big issue, it's a challenge, but it's also like an opportunity in Danbury, which is to take advantage of the fact that we have a large population of English language learners. And
yes.
what a great opportunity for us to really focus on what are the best educational practices for English language learners.
Well, in my experience also with English language learners is these are some of the most committed learners. They grow exponentially in ways that are truly dynamic and really ultimately give back to their learning community. So I think finding a space to embrace and empower those learners is a really interesting and important attitude, because I think that is a population that consistently is growing in the state.
I agree completely. And I have to give you guys a lot of credit because I had a conversation a couple of years ago with one of your staff here at CEA, and we talked about the possibility of a dual language school and how effective that can be. And I thought, you know, I don't really know much about dual language
right.
schools. And when I heard about it, it immediately clicked with me. This is a wonderful opportunity for Danbury, something we should be pursuing. We have, a concentration of Spanish-speaking students.
Yeah.
We have plenty of parents whose kids don't speak Spanish but would love them to have that
Absolutely.
Exposure. And so I think that's the kind of innovative thinking that we really need to pursue in Danbury. And look at the, you know, new immigrants to our community as an opportunity for all of our kids.
I would agree, and I think that some of this takes an exceptional amount of investment and care and buy-in, and I love that you're focusing on such a big and bold vision, because I think that a lot of times when we move forward with education, we want to feel comfortable with what we're doing, and we want to know that the answers are going to be there for us, so we just stick with what we've been doing. But I think, you know, you do what you always do, you get what you always got, and so I love this vision. I think that it is innovative and caring and mindful of the members of your community. And I think that it would attract people to Danbury. And look at that high school model. I want my kid to go to a high school that looks like that. And it would bring in people to Danbury as opposed to deterring it from, you know, we're 169 or out of the
169.
You know, so I think that this vision sounds amazing. And I hope that, you know, people listening are hearing this and saying, well, you know, what an investment and what an opportunity.
So let's dive in, though, because I think I love this. I love the idea. You know, nothing gets a bunch of teachers more excited than talking about innovation and creativity and really looking at school systems in terms of their tremendous potential. But I think we do have to hit on kind of the dirty detail here, right, which is, what does this look like in terms of a need, right? What needs to happen to get Danbury to accomplish those goals? So we've got the high school, but you've talked about, you know, really for this to be the big vision, we have to look at middle school, elementary. So what would you say to the community in Danbury that would need to happen to kind of make all this stuff come to fruition?
Well, I talk about education and funding education everywhere I go.
Me too. Who is having this in common, Julie?
It's one of the reasons I ran in 2018. It's been part of my platform that we need to fully fund education. And I think there are things we can do on the state level, have special funding for innovative projects like a dual language school. But I also think that in Danbury, we need to talk within the community about really investing more of our current budget, but also expanding our budget to really make sure that our schools are the premier schools, like you said, to attract people. Danbury is growing.
There's no question, yeah. I heard that there was 5 new students every day added to the Danbury roster. Is that accurate?
It sounds right to me.
That's a lot.
It's huge. And I think that we're attracting tremendous amount of growth in Danbury. The question is, are those parents going to stay in Danbury when their kids become school age? Because they might be afraid that they won't get the education they want for their kids. Now, I happen to know, I go to a lot of the public schools, and, you know, we have some really blue ribbon schools in Danbury.
They've got a lot of good things going on. And I know that when we talked to Erin, I was really impressed with the mindset of the educators who have said, listen, regardless of what goes on out there, I'm going to make sure what goes on in here is top notch, and that I'm going to make sure my kids have what they need.
And it really shows, and there are good results for a lot of the kids. The overcrowding is a tremendous problem.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to people about achievement gap. We have a majority of our students identify as Hispanic or Latino. And it's clear that there is an achievement gap when you look at the testing. And what I say to folks is, what do you expect when a teacher has an overcrowded classroom? Until we get the class sizes down, it's really difficult for our teachers to accomplish what they need to in the classroom. And and that means we have to invest in more schools, more teachers. We have to invest in minority teacher recruitment, like we're trying to create at the state level through state funding. We need to have incentives to bring teachers to Danbury Public Schools that the kids can identify with, that are, you know, bilingual, that can really help our population to expand their knowledge and to feel like there's teachers there they can model. So I feel like there's tremendous opportunity, but the community has to embrace this. And that means we have to invest in our city budget as well as looking for the state funding that we work so hard for.
So you need those local advocates, right? Those parents who say, I want this for my child. You need the PTAs and the different parent groups to stand up and say, we believe our schools are great places to grow. Now invest in them. We believe our teachers deserve the spaces. And, you know, you hit class size. I think the single most underestimated impact of student achievement is class size. You know, when we see these studies often that say, oh, there's this achievement gap and what have you, it often, if you track it back to the actual student experience, has more to do with the class size those children have been brought through the system with than it has to do with the system.
Absolutely.
And so I think that you're spot on focused on the right component, which is if you drive down class size, you will 100% move student achievement.
Absolutely. I think it's so critical. And, you know, that's what we're working on. I tell you, I talk to every bit about it when I go door to door talking to folks who live in Danbury, when I go to meetings. We talk about education. And I think people are beginning to get it. And I do have confidence we're going to have a bond referendum to build a new school. And I feel pretty confident we're going to get there. I feel like people realize this is important, not just to those of us who are, you know, I don't have kids in school anymore, but not to the people, not just to the parents and to the students, but to the whole community.
Well, listen, if there's nothing we've learned over time is that schools dictate community vibrancy. You know, I used to make my mother go to Board of Ed meetings when in Manchester because I was like, I need them to see that retired people care about schools. My parents are retired, live in Manchester, and are passionate. I mean, granted, they're passionate because they're two daughters who are teachers in Manchester as well. But they're passionate because they see their, you know, their house value is linked to schools. Their property, you know, yeah, they're willing to pay a little more in property taxes to ensure that the school system connected with their property is considered quality. Because you start to get dinged by that, and it's a pocketbook issue as much for any community member as anything else.
Well, it's not just our retirees who have that, right? You have a lot of young professionals who do not have children and might not plan on having children. And so the investment of your property taxes, when you think about it, goes to schools. I don't have a stakeholder in that because I don't have a kid, but you are a stakeholder because the more successful your schools are, the more you'll get back from your, you know, the sale of your house, ideally when you choose to leave that community. So I think that it's really important. And, you know, you brought up the young families, right? I do. I have an exceptional amount of youngish friends who have moved to Danbury with, you know, a child who's, you know, 2 years old, you know, a couple months old, and they're not thinking of long-term life in Danbury. They're thinking, oh, here's our starter. And then when we want to have school, we'll go to another community. And so I think that you're right. Right? We want to attract a school system that kids and families want to stay in for the long haul. And
they see the potential. They see the future of the city as a vibrant, exciting place to be.
Right. So I think your vision is tremendous. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to watch the journey of this high school and then down through the middle school. And then, you know, my heart's in the elementary grades. So, you know, I can't wait for that fifth grade class. I'll come and do some lessons there. So I'm excited for you. I think, and I'm excited for Danbury for this kind of plan to move forward.
I think you've laid out a future that people should be getting behind. So I, you know, hope that if there's any that we can support Danbury's growth, we love our Danbury teachers. We love Aaron and all the hard work that goes on. And so
I love the Danbury teachers and your union. You know, I've spent a lot of time talking with folks. I have found that I learn so much from the teachers when I go and talk to them about what's happening in their schools, and I learn from the kids when I talk to the students. So, you know, we have great opportunities in Danbury, and I look forward to working with all of you.
Well, thank you so much, Julie, for coming in today and having this conversation with us. As we kind of work our way out of the pandemic, we're looking for the points of optimism, the points of opportunity and growth and excitement. And I think that Danbury is poised to serve as one of those highlights for us to keep watching. I hope the community rallies around all of these exciting projects. And we continue to, we'll bring you back and you can talk to us about the new things happening.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
We want to thank all of our members for all you do and for listening to the latest edition of Two Teas in a Pod.
For more education talk, subscribe to Two Teas in a Pod and find us at cea.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like what you heard? Share our podcast with your friends and colleagues and spread the word because we are
stronger together.